Welcome to The Apple Seed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. I'm your host, Sam Payne, and today we're bringing you a couple of stories of culinary temptations. And while this first story may seem at first like it's just about those foods you love so much that you'd do just about anything to have some, there's a little more to it than that, looking beyond the food to the person who makes it. The storyteller is Bill Harley, and the story is called Mrs. Lunchroom Lady. It was recorded live in the Appleseed studio. Here's Bill.
When I was growing up and going to school, I always got the school lunch. My mom meant to make the school lunch, but all of a sudden, she'd look at the clock and the kid says, "Oh my gosh, you're late. I don't have time. Here's 25 cents. And I liked that. I had 25 cents, and it was 20 cents for the lunch and 5 cents for the milk. So I would not have my milk, and I would take the nickel, and I would stop at the little variety convenience store on the way home, and I would buy some candy. At least I would try. But for some reason, I don't know what it was with my mother. I'd get home, I'd say, "I'm home," and she'd say, "Did you buy your milk?" And I'd say the only thing you can say when you didn't really want to lie, but you didn't know if telling the truth was the absolute best thing. I would say, "What?" And she'd look at me, and she'd say, "Bill, your face is an open book. I can look. I know you didn't. You stopped for candy." I said, "I'm sorry, Mom." She always knew. But then we moved to Indianapolis, Indiana, and I took the bus, and they would send these envelopes home. You pay for lunch by the week, and I'd put it in this special envelope, and my mom would seal it up with duct tape so I couldn't get my dirty little fingers in there, and we would ride to school, and I couldn't get the bus driver to stop at the convenience store. And then at that school, I got to know the woman who ran the lunchroom very well. Her name, I knew her name. Her name was Mrs. Lunchroom Lady. That's just what we called her. And Mrs. Lunchroom Lady, she was very special. She wasn't very tall. She's kind of round in nature, and she just had kind of like a lot of extra. I guess that's why she couldn't smile, because she just had extra on her face, and she couldn't lift it up. I'd say, "Hi, Mrs. Lunchroom Lady," and she'd frown. And it's just like too much extra to lift up, you know? Now, there are a couple things about Mrs. Lunchroom Lady that drove us crazy. And it mostly had to do with the food that she served. Some of the food that she served to us at lunchtime, we could eat. She had hamburgers, she had hot dogs, and she'd serve French fries, and, you know, it'd be like grilled cheese sandwiches were good. But the problem with Mrs. Lunchroom Lady, and a lot of other adults even to this day, I might add, is that they serve the food you can eat with food that you cannot eat. And the food that you cannot eat is a bad influence on the plate. And the plates were designed so that the foods would not influence each other, but the bad food didn't really care. You know, there'd be these little divisions on the plate to separate things. For instance, like, she might serve a hamburger, you know, and we liked hamburgers, and the hamburger knew that it was liked and appreciated. It would be sitting on the plate going, "I am a hamburger. People like me, I will be eaten, la, 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 la." And then floating over in this other little division in this green viscous fluid was like broccoli bits. And the broccoli was just sitting there floating around feeling bad about itself. It's like, "I'm broccoli. Nobody likes me. I don't even like myself." And the hamburger be going, "I'm a hamburger. People like me. I'm broccoli. I feel bad. I have a low self-concept. I'm a hamburger. Hey, what was that? Hamburger. Oh, it's a hamburger. Hey, no!" And the broccoli bits would slide over into the hamburger, and the hamburger bun would soak up the broccoli juice, and you pick it up, and you squeeze it, and, oh, you couldn't have broccoli burger. What a bad idea. And you couldn't eat it, and you'd take the tray to the window, and you'd put the tray in there, and you were done for the day because you couldn't eat it because the bad food was a bad influence on the good food. And that was bad because you wanted seconds. Because Mrs. Lunchroom Lady always made great things for seconds. It might be another hot dog, it might be another grilled cheese sandwich, or the one thing she made that we loved. And I'm gonna tell you guys, and you're gonna think, what a small, pathetic life they led. But Mrs. Lunchroom Lady made the best hot bread and butter sandwiches ever. There was just something about them. She'd take this huge sheet pan, you know, and with these long loaves of white bread and spread out 50 pieces of the bread on the sheet pan. And then she'd say butter or something looked like butter from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And she would spread it out there. And then she'd put bread on top of those pieces. And then she would slice them diagonally, the proper way to slice a sandwich. She'd put them into the oven and they would stand there for 45 seconds. And the bread wouldn't turn brown, but it just had this little slight crust on it, and the butter had melted into the bread, and she would take them out, and the smell would rise up, and oh, and if you cleaned your plate, you would get one, and it was the best thing ever, but I never got one because I had to clean my plate, and there was something on the plate. I had had half of one once. I thought, oh, man, this is totally the promised land. So, third grade, Miss Nottingham's class. Time for lunch. They lead us down the hallway, and she leaves us there and goes off. She's free for 40 minutes or something. And we're standing in line, and we're waiting to hear what's for lunch. And she would always put this little chalkboard right as you came into the line and got your tray. And it would say, seconds today. So we're waiting to hear, and we see the line. I'm looking all the way down, 20 or 30 kids, and I'll see the first kid turn around and go, oh, 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 and it turns to the next kid, and she goes, oh, oh, and turns to me, and Mike Newcomb's in front of me. He says, oh, hot bread and butter sandwiches for seconds. He's like, oh, please, what do I have to eat to get a hot bread and butter sandwich? Oh, this will be great. And I'm waiting, we're waiting to hear what we have to eat, and the kids are still jumping up and down, and Mike turns to me and says, hot roast beef sandwich. Oh, I could eat that. I says, great, what's next? He said, mashed potatoes, because mashed potatoes always go with hot roast beef sandwich, right? So I can eat that. They put gravy on that. It's like, what's next? Oh, oh. And Mike turns to me and said, spiced apple rings. Oh. You know, some of you like them, but I didn't think they should exist. Ms. Lunchroom Lady, or somebody she knew in the food service industry, would come out into the orchards of America long after the harvest was done and look around on the ground for apples that had been left behind and pick them up kind of oozing and dripping, and she'd bring them, that's what I'm talking about, she'd put them back in the kitchen and then would slice them into these mushy circles and then dump them in a vat of red plutonium liquid and leave them to cure, and then they would put hundreds of them in a big number 10 can and seal it and leave it on the shelf for 3 or 4 years. And then one day she would open up the can and then she would take 3 out and put them on your tray and say, there's a little treat. Well, I just didn't like the color of them, but I didn't like how they tasted. I did not like how they felt in my mouth. But I thought, if it means getting a hot bread and butter sandwich, I am gonna eat those spiced apple rings. But we're still waiting for one food group, the one that could do the damage, the vegetable. And I knew what it was before Mike told me, because those kids were going, and that line went from a conga line to a funeral procession in about 15 seconds. I should have known from the smell that had wafted down the hallway. Mike turned to me and said, it's her peas and carrots, not the peas and carrots. The carrots were edible when they were by themselves, but they hung out with those peas and they got ruined. They'd sat in that can forever and you'd open up and you look down and the water they were in was kind of gray and the carrots had assumed the strange green translucence from hanging from the peas, and the peas were gray and they were wrinkled and they were horrible and they were inedible. And I thought, what is wrong with it that she did this to us? And one by one, we got our trays and she put that food on, she gave the tray. We took the tray, we said, thank you, Mrs. Lunchroom Lady, and she frowned at us, always frowning at us. Every time we said, hi, Mrs. Lunchroom Lady, it didn't make any difference if we greeted her. She frowned. And we all went back to the tables and we looked down. There we were, 25 kids sitting at those long tables. How are we going to get rid of those peas and carrots? Tammy Remake sitting next to me, she says, I know what to do. She took her fork, she mushed around like that, mushed around. She scraped it. When she was done, you could see the bottom of the plate. It looked like she'd almost eaten all of them. I said, that might work, Tammy. She went into the line, she held up the tray. She said, hi, Ms. Lunchroom Lady. She frowned. Can I please have seconds? And she said, well, honey, you still got a few peas and carrots on that plate. You eat them right here, I'll give you a hot bread and butter sandwich. Tammy said, no thanks, I'm actually not hungry. She came back and said, it didn't work. Mike said, I know what to do. She looked around for the lunchroom monitor, right? Didn't see the lunchroom monitor. Takes his tray, walks over to the big gray garbage can right by the window, starts shoveling the peas and carrots in. He's got one spoonful left. He holds it up. Mrs. Lunchroom Lady sticks her head around the door. She said, you put your dish in the window. You're done for the day. No seconds for you. Oh, my gosh, her eyes. I forgot to tell you about her eyes. They were these big blue orbs that floated in her face. She had these glasses. So when you looked at her, they were really thick. So her eyes just exploded. They were like x-ray glasses. She'd looked through the cinder block walls. She'd seen what Mike was doing, and Mike came back and said, it's impossible. And Paul Heilbrunner, who never got caught doing anything because he was so polite to the grown-up, said, watch. And he picked up his milk carton. He finished the milk. He opened up the carton. He spooned all of those peas and carrots in there. He closed the carton. He slipped that straw. And he puts back, and it looks like perfect. And he walks in, and he says, hi, Mrs. Lunchroom Lady. She frowns. He said, I really liked your peas and carrots. May I please have seconds? She looks at the plate with those eyes. She says, did you finish your milk? Paul said, what? She reaches over and says, you're done for the day. Put your dish in the window. You're done. Mike said, it's impossible. Paul said, it's impossible. Nobody. And I looked across the table, and there was Larry Becker. And Larry is finishing his spiced apple rings, and there's no peas and carrots on his plate. I said, what happened to your peas and carrots? He said, I like them. I said, weird, but would you like mine? And he said, okay. And everybody at the table heard that. And before he knew it, there were 23 servings of peas and carrots on Larry's plate. All the kids running to get seconds. You know what happened so fast? I shoved mine off, and there were those three spiced apple rings. I said, ah! And those three spiced apple rings caught me four places in line. And I got to the line. I looked down there, and one by one, may I please have seconds? And Mrs. Lunchroom Lady's given out the hot bread and butter sandwich. She's never had to give so many hot bread and butter sandwiches. She can't figure out what's going on. And I look down the line, and I count, and I realize there's not going to be enough. She's never had to make so many. And I think, please, just this once. And I count, and I see I am going to get the last one. And the kids behind me are going, hey, Bill, cuts. I said, no. Bill, I'm your friend. Not anymore, buddy. If I had to choose between a hot butter sandwich and friendship for life, I'll take the hot bread and butter sandwich. But as I get closer, I begin to get nervous because she's got those glasses. And I remembered my mom said she'd look at me, she'd say, you're face is an open book. And she was going to know. Mrs. Lunchroom Lady, my mom didn't have x-ray glasses, and she did. She's going to look, and so I decided I just couldn't look at her. If I looked at her, I was dead. So I said, hi, Mrs. Lunchroom Lady. May I please have seconds? And her eyes were like, look at me. I looked at her, and she said, did you eat your peas and carrots? And I said, what? And she said, you don't like my peas and carrots, do you, Bill Harley? And I thought, how did she know? She knows my name. I didn't know she knew my name. And she said, wait a minute. Where's Larry Becker? He likes my peas and carrots. Oh, no. She looked at me. She said, you go to Larry Becker and you bring him here right now. I walked out in the lunchroom. It was dead quiet. And I walked over to Larry. He had about 10 servings left. I said, Ms. Lunchroom Lady wants to see you, Larry, with your tray. He said, okay. I said, Larry, whatever you do, don't look in her eyes. And for some reason, I followed him. I don't know why. I had escaped. And he came up to her with a tray, and she said, where are your peas and carrots? Look at me. And he looked at her, and I thought, we're going to die. And he said, I told the kids I like peas and carrots, and they were nice and gave me theirs. Ooh, that was a good answer. She said, well, I don't like you trading food, but you eat enough peas and carrots. You take this last hot bread and butter sandwich.
And I should have shut up. And I said, but what about me? And she turned and looked at me. She said, as for you and as for everybody here, she said, I've got something to tell you. You listen to me. And she took off her glasses and there were tears coming out of her eyes. And she had these little pale blue eyes. They looked like my grandmother's eyes. She said, I tell you what, I am sick and tired of being called Mrs. Lunchroom Lady. My name is Mrs. Everts. Will you please call me that? And I said, can I have seconds, Mrs. Everts? And she lifted it all up. She said, you want seconds, honey? I said, uh-huh. She said, all right. I thought, oh my gosh. She said, I'll tell you what, honey. I don't have any more hot bread and butter sandwiches, but why don't you take some more spiced apple rings? Here you go. And she put four on my plate. And I said, thank you, Ms. Everts. And she said, you're welcome, honey. And I went out and I walked over to the gray plastic garbage can and I dumped those spiced apple rings in there right where they belong. And I went back to the classroom and I never got a hot bread and butter sandwich to this day, but I'm here to tell you, I never forgot her name. Her name was Mrs. Everts, and she was my lunchroom lady.
That was Bill Harley with Mrs. Lunchroom Lady. And listening to this story reminds me of the folks who worked in my elementary school. We loved our teachers, of course, but there were lots of other people who worked there too, people that were a little less visible to us maybe than our teachers, but who were just as interesting. The custodians at my elementary school, for example, were a couple of old guys named Mr. Romrell and Mr. Bateman. And I remember our teacher needed a completely dark room where he could shine a flashlight on a kickball to teach us about the phases of the moon. And Mr. Romrell let my whole fourth grade class down into the underground boiler room with our teacher. He helped each one of us down the ladder and into that secret kingdom of mops and cleaning supplies and pipes and tanks and strange noises, and helped each of us back up again when we were done. Mr. Bateman, the other custodian, walked the halls whistling Broadway show tunes. And one time I saw him perform songs from Camelot in a school talent show. And Mr. Bateman's wife, Mrs. Bateman, was one of our lunchroom ladies. I never knew they were even sweethearts until one day when I saw them holding hands after school. And there were other interesting grown-ups that worked at my elementary school, too. Our speech therapist, Mr. Harper, sang in a barbershop quartet. Mr. McDaniel, my sixth grade teacher, owned an apple farm. And one of the other teachers, Mr. Poole, was a volunteer firefighter. If you're hearing me talk about all the grown-ups at my elementary school and saying to yourself, that's nothing, why at my elementary school we had a teacher who could ride a unicycle or who drove a race car. Well, that's sort of the point, isn't it? There are amazing people all around us at every elementary school and in every church congregation and on every baseball team and in every neighborhood. Sometimes we walk on by, forgetting to look at just how amazing people are. And I wonder what we'd see if we just kept our eyes open. Anyway, that's where Bill's story took me. Where did it take you? And who will you take along? There's a lot yet to come on today's episode, but I wanted to take just a moment to introduce you to another one of the shows from among the BYU Radio family of podcasts. The show is called Constant Wonder. It's hosted by Marcus Smith, and in every episode of Constant Wonder, Marcus will have a riveting conversation with an individual whose life has been touched by the awe and wonder in nature, human nature, or the natural world. It's all phenomenal. Uncover captivating stories that shed light on the wonders of creation. And you'll walk away feeling a little awestruck yourself from just about every episode. It's Constant Wonder with Marcus Smith. You can find it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or YouTube, all kinds of ways to listen to Constant Wonder whenever you like. Get a little dose of awe. Constant Wonder from BYU Radio. It's a pleasure to be with you on the Appleseed, where we have one more delicious story for you. It's a story of Anansi the spider and his plan to pilfer some vegetables from a neighbor's garden, and a granny who can't help but dance every time Anansi starts to sing. The storyteller is our friend Bobby Norfolk, who, in addition to telling stories, spent a lot of years as a national parks ranger in St. Louis. Bobby is one of the most energetic storytellers we know. We think you'll love the crazy voices he gives to his characters, the snippets of songs and all kinds of silly, funny sound effects to represent things that are happening in the story. It's always a wild ride with Bobby, and we feel like there's no better way to enjoy the story, Anansi and the Dancing Granny.
Once upon a time, there was a spider named Anansi. Spider loved going for walks. He went to the front door. He looked both ways two times for safety. I'm out of here. He went. Whoa. He looked down the hill, and there was the garden of the Dancing Granny. All that food in that garden. Wow. Look at that beautiful garden. Oh, man. That's the Dancing Granny's house. I'm going to trick her, make her dance, take a nap in that rocking chair, and raid the produce. He spun his web. Climbed to the top. Climbed back down. And he watched his watch. Granny finally finished breakfast. She came out. It's time for me to plant. Where are my seeds? There they are. She planted and sang. I like to eat. Eat, eat, eat. I like to eat apples and bananas. I like to oat, 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 oat. I like, Spider said, jump up, granny, jump up, whoo. Jump up, granny, jump up, whoo. Put your hand in the air. That was not a suggestion. And wave them like you just don't care. Whoo. Now wave to the east. Now wave to the west. They wave to the one that you like the best. Go, Granny! Go, Granny! Go, Granny! Go, Granny! Go, Granny! Got that from the Jackson 5. hold on, y'all. I'm an older woman. Told you I'm 125, okay? Don't be wearing me out up here. Red my rocking chair. I need to take a nap, baby girl. I'll be right back, okay, honey? All right.
She sat down.
Granny went to sleep. Spider came down. Took his basket. Went in the garden. Ooh, here's some cucumbers. Ooh, here's some carrots. Ooh, some endive lettuce. Oh, man. And he took it home. Granny didn't know it. She woke up. Oh,
where did my food go? I thought I had food in this garden. I thought I did. But maybe it was just my imagination once again. I'm going to the snack shop. They have good salads down there, baby girl.
She went to the snack shop and got a salad. The next morning, Spider came back, spun his web, climbed to the top, climbed back down, and he watched his watch. And finally, Granny came back out.
Time for me to plant some more.
She got seeds and planted and sang. I like to eat, 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 eat. I like to eat apples and bananas. I like to oat, 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 oat. I like to oat. Oh, what Spider said, jump up, Granny, jump up, whoo. Jump up, Granny, jump up, whoo. Put your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. Now wave them to the east. Wave to the west. And wave to the one that you like the best.
Go, Granny! Go, Granny! Go, Granny! Go, Granny! Go, Granny! Go, Granny!
Hold on, hold on. Hold on, I'm getting tired. Oh, I need to take a nap. You can tell by the way I use my walk. I'm going to take a nap. No time to talk.
She went back to sleep. Where she was sound asleep, Spider came back down. Whoosh, took his basket.
I'm getting this garden over here.
Ooh, look at all that food. He got some onions. He got some tomatoes. Ooh, he got some garlic. Oh, yeah, Italiano tonight. And he took it home. And she didn't know it. She woke up.
Hold up.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Something fishy going on here. I'm going to do an investigation. Where's my magnifying glass?
Ah! She saw 8 footprints in the furrows of the soil. Ah, wait a minute. I was at the botanical gardens, and they said, if you're planting, it's soil. If you want dirt, look under your bed.
And there were footprints in the soil. 2 kids were going to school.
Babies, come here. Hey, Granny. Y'all in college now?
Yes, ma'am.
Let me ask you a question, baby, before you head off to your first class. Did you see a Nancy go by with some food in the basket?
Yes, ma'am.
That was my food! Oh, man. He took my food. Yes, he did. No, he didn't. Yes, he did.
Go to class. This time, guess what Granny did? She went upstairs to the medicine cabinet. She opened up the door, took some cotton balls, and put them in her ears so she couldn't hear the spider's song. Anansi spun his web, climbed to the top, climbed back down, and he watched his watch.
Why is she taking so long? She finally came out. Time to plant some more.
She planted and sang, I like to eat, 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 eat. I like to eat apples and bananas. I like to oat. Spider said, jump up. She said, pow, come here, Spider.
And she pulled him from his web.
Anansi.
Yes, Granny.
Have you been taking food from my garden while I've been taking a nap?
Who told you that, Granny?
Never mind who told me, Spider. That's not the question.
Did you do it?
Yes, ma'am.
Go get that food back, boy. All right, Granny, calm down. I didn't eat any of it.
He brought it all back. Here it is.
Anansi, bad spider.
I'm sorry, Granny. I was hungry. I didn't mean it.
Anansi, if you're hungry, just ask me for food. I will give you the food. You don't need to steal it. Ask. It shall be given. Next time, ask.
Yes, ma'am.
You still hungry?
Oh, yeah.
Spider says he's hungry. That's what I thought.
Come in the kitchen. Let's make dinner. She took that spider in her kitchen. She made him baby back ribs, quesadillas, palak paneer, moogugat pan, chicken chow mein, spaghetti and meatballs. She gave him fettuccine alfredo. She did all that, and she gave him sweet potato pie, coconut cake, chocolate cake, and Häagen-Dazs.
And that's the end of that.
Bobby Norfolk with his story Anansi and the Dancing Granny. Bobby's performances are as much fun to watch as they are to listen to, so don't forget to check out the extended video of this story on the Appleseed YouTube channel. What is your very favorite food? Did you ever have a kitchen adventure making food you love? Did you ever find an unexpected friend like Granny or Mrs. Everts who was surprisingly on your side? We hope you'll share your stories with the people you love. In fact, we hope you'll share the stories with us. Email or message us with what stories came to mind for you as you listened. Or leave a comment about the show. We might share your thoughts right here on the podcast. For example, Janet Pinkham recently reached out to us with a question. She said, I love your stories. Do I need an app to listen? Janet, it's a great question. And the answer is absolutely not. You can listen on the BYU Radio app, of course, but you can also find the Appleseed wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for the Appleseed Podcast. And thanks for listening. We want to thank Bill Harley and Bobby Norfolk for their tales today. You've listened to their stories. Now it's time for you to share some of your own. The Appleseed is produced by me, Sam Payne, Wendy Folsom, Brian Tanner, and Kira Van Dam. The rest of the Appleseed team is Tristan Schetzel, Kay Hendricks, and Nico Wetzel. We're pleased and proud to be among the many podcasts produced by the BYU Radio family of shows. If you want more great storytelling for the whole family, then search for our companion podcast, Kaboom, where you'll hear original audio adventures for the whole family. You can find any episode of The Appleseed or Kaboom on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, on the BYU Radio app, or at byuradio.org. Don't forget to subscribe, rate us, and leave a review. That's how the shows grow. I'm Sam Payne, and we can't wait to be with you again on The Appleseed.